Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Lord, you are worthy of it all. We're so thankful to be in your house tonight. God, we thank you, God, for tonight's a night of miracles. God, I thank you for people who've come tonight that they are going to receive tonight. Lord, we just thank you for just a powerful night. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Well, it's night number two of our Pentecost conference. How many enjoyed Dr. Sam Kojaglani in the last couple services? I mean, that man spits the word out like I do my chicken parm as my wife's cooking for me, I think, sometimes. It's amazing how well he knows that word. And he can go from point A to point B, from New Testament, Old Testament. I mean, I could hardly keep up. Well, frankly, I could not keep up with him. He went so fast. But I'm going to go back and listen to the message because it was powerful. But tonight's going to be a powerful night. We have a speaker. It's a first-time guest to Only Believe, but I don't think it'll be our last time. This man of God, Caleb Wempler, he oversees Kingdom Encounters International. He and his associate, Joshua Smith, came in today. Literally, Pastor, you know, we all have dealt with flight issues many times in the last several decades, and well, this was a curveball thrown at him today. I got a call about 9 o'clock in the morning saying, hey, Brother Eric, hey, excited about being with you. We're having some difficulties, and that's the last thing you want to hear after that first sentence. And he said, but I think I can get on a flight to Cincinnati. But I'm not sure about Josh, and I'll let you know shortly. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to start praying right now as this conversation is moving forward. And thankfully, not only did Brother Caleb get here, but Josh got on the same flight. And I was talking to him the entire way. He's got a great message for you tonight. I know it's going to impact your life in a big, big way. We're so honored to have him. I mean, this man travels literally all over the world. You know, we go to Pakistan a couple times a year. Well, Caleb goes at least three times each year. And some of Caleb's crusades in Pakistan, it may have been, I think, potentially the largest that I'm aware of any other minister in the entire world. I know one crusade that Caleb did recently was over 600,000 people in one single service in Pakistan, the second largest Muslim nation in the entire world. And I understand the work and the prayers and the faith involved to do what we do. But that was done at sometimes probably five or six times the scale that we've even done it at. He goes to places like India, a very difficult place to get the gospel up because of non-conversion laws. I know he's got a crusade coming up in Tanzania. The man is pretty much every month in another country, pulling the nets in big fashion. Last year, Caleb's ministry alone saw over 1 million decisions for Christ, for God's glory. I know he's on pace this year to exceed that mark, and it seems like his ministry just continues to grow and grow and grow. What I love about Caleb, he's a servant, as is Joshua. He had the privilege of serving, anybody know the man by the name of Daniel Kalinda, who took over for Reinhard Bonnke at CFAN? Well, he was Daniel Kalinda's personal assistant for 3.5 years. He literally put the preach down to serve him. And that speaks volumes to me because you know why? Because Jesus came to serve and not be served. And I think that speaks of that he wants to preach. Don't worry. He's like a man, you know, ready to go. But he wanted to take that time just to pour into Daniel Kalinda's life and to see fan. I appreciate that about Caleb. And I think you're going to enjoy his message. So tonight, I just hope you have your hearts ready to receive. I really mean this. This is not just me up here pumping you up and getting you excited. I know these miracles this man has seen. Deaf ears, not one, not two, but by the hundreds in services. Blind eyes, cripples walking. So I want you to have your faith ready to receive. So when he does take time to pray tonight, I believe tonight's your night. It's not your neighbor's night. It's your night. So I want you to be ready when he comes to take this microphone. So what I want to do, since it's his first visit, we want to show about a 2-minute video that gives you a little overview of what Caleb and Kingdom Encounters are doing all over the world, and we're going to play that right now.
Hello, everybody. This is evangelist Caleb Wempler, and I greet you here from South Asia,
Africa, Dubai,
India,
Costa Rica,
from Monkey Island,
Kenya,
Pakistan,
Peru,
from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil,
the Philippines,
France,
Sri Lanka,
South Korea,
Uganda.
I declare with all
all of the authority that God has put inside of me right now for every person within the sound of my voice who may be dead. May you rise up from your graves tonight. I declare miracles, signs, wonders, healings in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this miracle.
All your pain is gone.
Well, brother, you are free!
May everything bow its will to the mighty will of Jesus Christ. Jesus, I give you all of the glory.
Let's give a warm welcome to Caleb Whipper as he brings forth the word.
Hallelujah. Somebody give Jesus praise in this place. Somebody give Jesus praise in this place. Lord, we give you all of the glory, honor, power, and praise. And tonight, Holy Spirit, we ask you to have your way in this place. Everybody here has come expectant outside of the regular church attendance of the week. They've come on a Monday night ready to seek the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Priests, the miracle working God who does wonders in America, in Ohio, right here today. In Jesus' name, we believe that you are here and we have come to worship you tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. King of Kings, we love you. Lord, we ask tonight for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in fire. Fire, 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 fire. Stir it up even now. Stir it up even now. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just declare right now every door be opened right now in this by the Spirit of God. Every door that is closed, let it be opened right now in Jesus' name. I pray for every unbelief to fall off right now in Jesus' name. We have come here and set our minds on Christ. And right now, I pray that every captivity, every chain that has come in here around a mindset, around a thought, around an unbelief right now, that it be broken off right now in Jesus' name. Right now, we believe that you are the mountain-moving God that moves mountains, that flattens them like dust beneath our feet. We believe that you are the God who parts the sea before us right now so that we can walk through on dry ground. We believe you are the God that is with us in the fire and that we will not be burned in that fire. You are the God who appears even there. You are the miracle working God, the healer, the deliverer, the way maker in Jesus' name. And tonight we say we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew, hallelujah. Who's ready tonight? Man, I feel the fire of God already. I told the team when I walked in that I was feeling the presence of God even just walking into the building. It's clear you guys steward something here, and I'm excited to be with you tonight. I want to give honor to my brother Eric here who invited us to come, and to Pastor and the whole family and our founding pastor that's here. Just give it up for your pastors here. Thank you so much for what you guys are doing here to steward the work of the Lord. There's not many people that have a Pentecost conference anymore. Just the fact that you would make that the theme of this retreat is incredible. There are people that are still believing that the Holy Spirit is active in doing something in this hour today. And we have a promise out of Scripture. You know, it says in Matthew 5:6 that blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That's right. That's a promise. If you draw near to God, then he will Oh, that's right. And I'm pretty sure that you guys came here to draw near to God tonight. And so there's a promise that he will draw near to you. So that's what we are expecting tonight. I brought my dearest friend in the world here with me, Joshua Smith, if you want to make your way up here with a couple of the goodies here. Joshua and I met in high school, and we shared a locker together freshman year. And we had a lot of fun stories along the way. We were best men in each other's weddings, and now Joshua travels the world with me, and we get to go to the nations and see a lot of amazing things. I want to have Josh just tell one story real quick, because when we were in the place where he was going on his very first missions trip, he had never seen a miracle in his life. He had never seen a healing in his life. He believed in faith. He believed God could do anything. But yet here he was going out of the country for the first time. And here it was where Josh said, okay, I'm going to go. And I said, bro, I need a photographer. He's like, but I'm not a photographer, Caleb. I said, yeah, but you're cheap. I said, you're free. I said, I'll pay for your plane ticket to come, but I just need you to snap pictures as much as you can. So I went to Walmart and I bought like the $600 camera that was supposed to be like the best one at Walmart, you know. And anyways, it didn't work out very well. 4,000 photos on the trip. He got like four. The rest of them were blurry and smeared and didn't work out. However, what did happen was the birthing of an evangelist in Jesus' name. So we're at this service. We're at this service in Nicaragua, and it's like maybe the fourth night of this 10-day tour. We're going to go to like 14 or 15 different churches and minister to 20,000 people over the week. So this little church has like 100 people, and the fire of God was outpouring, wasn't it, Josh? And so I asked them if they were ready to see a miracle, and what happened, Josh?
First off, I need to clarify a few things, okay? First thing that happened was that camera... It was so bad. The delay was so bad on the camera. We were doing stupid things. Like, I'm like, hey, man, like, you have these great poses where you're like, you're pointing out to there. And every time I try to take a picture, it's like this. Like, it's all blurry. I was like, so he's like practicing. I was like, okay, hold that position so that I can get the picture. And like, so he'd be like, he's like, hey, God upstairs. All right, okay. Wait. I'm like, it was so bad. It was so bad. But Caleb is now in this, like, this is like the third service we had, and I'm just being blown away by all of this. This is my first time out of the country. This is my first time like seeing God do miracles. And I'm like, dude, like, this is nuts. Like, wow. And so Caleb's running around, and he's got his handkerchief, right? Like, he's full Pentecostal mode right now. He's up there. He's shouting. He's jumping. He's dabbing his head. He's walking around. He's stomping on everything. And then he starts to shout. He's like, y'all want to see a miracle? And they're all like, yeah. He's like, y'all want to get healed? And they're all like, yeah. He's like, great. My friend Joshua is going to pray for you, and you are all going to get healed.
Make sure you get the picture.
He's like, come on. Come on. He's like, Caleb, come on. Come on over here. I am holding the camera shaking at this moment, partially out of, like, terror, and the other part out of pure hatred of my best friend. And so I go walking over to him. I was like, what are you doing right now? He's dabbing his head, and he's like, bro, I am so tired. I got to sit down. I was like, I'm sorry, what? He's like, yeah, I just, like, I need a break. I'm, like, drenched in sweat. There's no AC in this place. I'm like, so you want me to pray for miracles because you're sweaty? He's like, yeah, I got it, yeah. I was like, no, I'm not, no. I have never, nor am I, would I? I don't, I'm like stress sweating with him now. And he just looks at me, he's like, bro, I did the hard part. I preach. I'm shouting. I'm running. I'm so tired. He's like, look, all you need to do is ask God and God will. I was like, that is not, I don't. And he goes, and I, look, I know how you get sometimes. So just don't be a pansy and pray with some authority, okay? And then he walks off. So I, for the very first time in my life, prayed for somebody to be healed with a church of about 100 and some people while holding a microphone. I don't recommend that as your first time, just if you're wondering on tidbits, but over 60 people got healed that night.
And since that went so well, just a couple minutes later, I knew this person was demon-possessed over on the side. So I'm like, hey, Josh, go pray for that one right there. He's like, that one? I'm like, no, that one right there. So he goes over there, and as soon as he does, they drop to the floor and slither like a snake. And then the next one, they drop over, they start vomiting. And he's... I'm like, well, since you did so great with healing ministry, 5 minutes later, we'll put you to deliverance ministry. So he was a pro by the end of the night. He had it down, you know. So if you want to get activated, I heard you guys are about to go to Africa. Is that what I heard? So if you're going to Africa, get ready. You're going to have a little bit of fun in Jesus' name. But what's beautiful about it is when you go to these places and go to the nations and you get activated, many people go, well, it works in Africa, but it doesn't work in America. And that is a lie from the enemy, because Josh came home so fired up that within like the first week, he's praying for a guy from a denomination that doesn't believe in healing. And all of a sudden, this dude's like who had a shoulder injury is going like this with his arm in the cafeteria of a place where they were all eating food with a bunch of homeless people. And he's like, I don't even believe in healing, but I'm... What is this? And he's rotating his shoulder when he tore his rotator cuff. And then a few days later, somebody else has a blood disease that had been an incurable disease. And all of a sudden, they get healed. Doctor confirmed, never had a problem again. Josh starts seeing it in America happen. And all that happened was that he took what he had learned and what he got activated in, and he didn't stop. He kept going. And the reason I'm sharing this is because I believe there's going to be an impartation tonight. And when you guys receive an impartation, you can then run with this thing in Jesus' name. Come on. We have a few things we'd like to give away. At the end of the service, we'll have a few products out there. And Josh, if you want to show these off, I think you said there's a certain size, right?
So I picked these sizes off purely based off of they didn't have wrappers wrapped around them, so they're the loose ones in my bag. So that's what we got here. But the first one is a small, and it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And these shirts are ridiculously soft. They do not shrink in the dryer, and as somebody who has a weirdly long torso like I do, that's wonderful, because then you don't, like, show off your belly button. And then that one is a larger one. That's for the ones that, like, Caleb and I like to fit those shirts better. So if we want to give away two shirts, so if somebody's like, hey, I'm a small, and somebody's like, hey, I am in the plus sizes, I need the Caleb and Joshua anointing size shirts, then you've got one of those. So, all right, first people to raise their hands, I'm going to throw shirts at you. So who wants the small? Say, ugh. That's as far as I made it. And then I saw you raise your hand right there, too. There you go. And then the last one we got is actually Caleb's second book you wrote, Weighty Words. This one is an incredible book. Caleb went ahead and signed it for you, too. But this one talks about how there's power in the tongue, right? In the words that you speak. What the power of life and death is in the... And what you speak over other people and what you speak over yourself matters. And this talks about a powerful revelation and encounter that he had. And then it goes through the scriptural background about it and the things that we've seen along our trips and stuff. This is an incredible book. I love this book. I highly recommend this book, and we want to give one of these away too. So who is an avid reader that wants it? You already still, is that you? You want that? All right, here you go. It's yours. You were ready to, like, race to it. I'm like, it's not one of those. We weren't. Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. You know, and that's the ones we got. But we got a whole bunch of other stuff in the back. Please come visit me afterwards. We'd love to, if you guys want to purchase some of those, that helps us out. That goes straight to helping us out. We're going to be in Pakistan in just a couple of weeks. And all of that that goes into that, that just helps us go and pay for that. And it costs us about $1 per person to come to Jesus. Okay, so that's an incredible investment. So everything that you do there is helping the gospel on that. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Joshua. Appreciate it. Now, I'm gonna go into what I feel the Lord is speaking tonight, and we'll see where it goes here. But at the end of the service, I do intend to pray for everybody that would like prayer, and we're going to lay hands on people briefly, and as if there's prophetic ministry, we'll go into that. But I'm just going to see what God wants to do, and we're going to run with it. But I did feel in particular that there's some things that need to be broken tonight, and so I want to set kind of an infrastructure here for what is going to be happening tonight. And part of it is on that book, Weighty Words, which is why I asked Josh to grab that. If you want to open up to Psalm 139, I just want to give a perspective here on who God is and what he's doing and how he's laid things out. I'm in the NLT if you want to follow along, but I'm going to read a few of these verses here. Psalm 139, verse 1, it says, "O Lord, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up, and you know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel." I always liked that one, Eric. Did you ever know that was in the Bible? "You see me when I travel." Hallelujah. "And when I rest at home, you know everything I do. And what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord, you go before me. You follow me. You place your hand of blessing on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit, and I can never get away from your presence." He goes on to say, "In the heavens, to the grave, to the wings of the morning, to the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me." If you go down to verse 13, "You made all my delicate inner parts, my body, knit me together in my mother's womb, and I thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous." Verse 16, "You saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God." Verse 23, David says, "Search me, O God, know my heart, test me in my anxious thoughts, and see if there's anything inside of me that offends you, and lead me in the way of everlasting life." This is a beautiful psalm written by David, one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. And what's interesting to know about it is who is writing the words to this. This is David, a man who was a shepherd boy, overlooked by his brothers, was not invited to his own coronation ceremony. He goes on to literally be a leader and slay the giant that was before him. And Goliath and the whole of Israel is rejoicing because now they're not going to be slaves anymore. They drive out the Philistines. They begin to take territory. Then the king calls him into special service, and before he knows it, he's playing worship for the king. And the king gets jealous because now Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his tens of thousands. And so now David ends up going on the run as Saul throws spears at him. He runs for his life, and for 7 years, he's running around from the king, about to be killed. And he's a man of war, a man who knows sorrow. And finally, after this moment comes where he can finally take vengeance on Saul, he goes while Saul is relieving himself in a cave, and David cuts the garment, and then he says, "Far be it from me to touch the Lord's anointed one." When he could have killed Saul, even in that moment, he doesn't. He says, "This is the man who God anointed to be king." Some of us need a little bit of a check when it comes to forgiveness, right? This is what David did, though. He didn't touch this man. And so then he shows him that he could have got him, and then he moves on and continues this moment. Eventually, he flees, and before you know it, Saul eventually is killed on the battlefield, and one of his own men take his life after he was requested. He brings the news to David, and David kills the man that brings the news to him. He's like, Saul is dead. Saul is dead. He's like, who killed him? And he's like, well, I did because he told me to. He's like, how dare you? And he kills him, you know. It's like, this is David's heart to not touch that which God has anointed, you know. He ends up becoming a king. And then what happens? He is raised up. Before you know it, he ends up having an affair, sees a woman bathing, has the man killed, sends him to the front lines when he should have been at war. Instead, he's at home and goes into this cycle for the rest of his life of highs and lows. His son tries to overthrow him at the end, and then eventually he wins out and he wants to build the temple. He can't. He builds the first 24/7 house of prayer. I mean, this is David, right? This man, this life, this legacy, so many ups and downs. And he's saying all of these things that you knew everything about me, verse 16. Before a single day had passed, you had wrote every single one of them in your book, and you knew my life was recorded before I was ever even born. This is the man who writes these words. And that's very important because some of you in here have probably made some mistakes. I've made my fair share. I'm sure you've made your fair share. And hopefully you can connect with a part of David's story. He isn't perfect. He doesn't have it all together. God knew the highs and lows of David's life. And yet he still wrote out and predestined to what David was going to do in his life. And David did his best to live up to what God had spoken. Some of you guys in this room, this is how you view yourself. Well, I'm a failure. Well, I'm a sinner because I had a mistake in my life that I lived in another portion of my life. Well, I'm in poverty. Well, I'm broken. I'm in debt. My family just gets sick. All of us just always get cancer. Our family just gets diabetes. You're going to get diabetes and your kids are going to get diabetes. My family, this is what we do. We're just people that have health problems. Like, you know, it runs in the family. You know, we're the people that are always poor. You know, we're in the poorhouse. You're going to be in the poorhouse. This is just how you got to get used to it. How many of you guys talk like this? Anybody? Got a few honest people. Thank you for your honesty. This is how we tend to think and operate. Maybe it's because the way we were trained. Maybe it's because the way that we understood. You can see David in the Psalms writes out so many moments of his pains and sufferings. But what does he always do? He turns it back to God. But God, you were there. But God, you're my refuge. But God, you're my strong tower. Even though this happens, God, you did this. You saw what I was going to do, and you still love me. And God, what does he do? He calls David a man after his own heart. What a powerful thing. Like, think of all the people in the Bible. People that accomplished greater miracles than David. People that had more power than David. People that had more anointing than David. People that had more giftings than David. People that came from higher statures than David. But yet none of them were given the compliment by God of having that heart after God. Why was that so powerful? It's because David knew who he was. He was a son of God. And he ultimately was the one through his lineage that got to see the birth of Christ, which is beautiful. This is a beautiful thing. And David, through his words, always spoke about the destiny of who God was and what God was going to do in his life and what he was going to accomplish. You know, years ago, I had this crazy vision. And I was going to have some friends over for dinner. And I was about to go speak at this service. And when I got there, when my friends were about to come to dinner, I told my wife, I'm like, I need to go pray before we go to the service. So I went into the other room and I put my headphones on and turned on my noise canceling headphones, and I put on some worship music, and I was just going to praise the Lord for a few minutes. And before I knew it, I go into this crazy vision. Now, most of you in this room are not familiar with me in the ministry, but I've had a lot of prophetic dreams and visions and these types of things, and I've been taken to heaven multiple times, and I've seen incredible things. I'd love to share some of the stories in the future, but through these encounters, God has shown me a lot of the beautiful, positive things about what he is doing and what where the heavens are and what he's doing on the earth and things that he wants to do. And I oftentimes don't see the negative or the demonic side, but I've seen the angelic side a lot. I'll see angels in meetings. And just to throw a few stories out there on the field, there have been times where people, multiple times, about seven or eight that I can count off the top of my head, where people have come with grenades. They've come with sniper rifles. They've come to kill us and blow us up. They've come to destroy us in the meetings and make a public spectacle of all of these people that were coming to a Christian meeting and to kill us all at the same time. We've had police show up to arrest us and take us to prison to deport us. We've had police come that have been intending to kill us and to blacklist us and different things like this. And we've heard this come back multiple times where people in the audience, the bomber or the person with the sniper or whatever, they'll see these giant 7 foot plus tall men in white with AK-47s surrounding the stage, and you're like, I didn't see him there in the moment. I was just preaching. I didn't even know there was a bomb threat in Jesus' name. But all I knew is, I mean, my life would have been taken in a moment. But these guys, instead of coming to kill us, they become the fruit of the crusade, and they end up getting saved in the meetings where they came to destroy us. So give the Lord praise. Amen. There was another time where we went to a remote place in India. Now, the Indian government is, they typically shut down a lot of things. They're actually very, it's not good right now. Their leader is persecuting all the Christian minority groups and even some of the Muslim minority groups. And he's actively trying to kill people. So getting into India is very difficult. And once you're in, you can be watched. So we go off into far off to the remote places in India, 3, 4, 5 hours into the bush, where the police don't even go there because that's too far out there, and they don't have the gas in their vehicles to make it out there. They don't really care that much because nothing important happens in those places, you know. So that's where we'll go, and then we'll go see 100,000 people come to Jesus. Come on, somebody. So we'll go to those places, but we don't actually tell the police. And we don't get security in those places, because if we do, and we tell the wrong people, then they will then send the secret police, and they'll come, they'll watch what we're doing, and they'll kill us, arrest us, deport us, they'll put us in a prison for breaking their laws, for breaking their visas, things like this. So we don't actually want to tell the authorities in these places, so we can secretly and overtly get in, you know. And so sometimes they'll see that there is no security. They'll come to the first night, check out the scene. They'll be like, oh, okay, I know how it kind of works now. Night two, night three, they're coming with their plan to kill us. You know what I mean? And so what happens is they'll show up, and I've seen this happen where people in the crowd are about to do stuff, and it looks kind of shady. And all of a sudden, you'll see these large warriors walking through the crowd that look like security, private security. They look like police officers. And they're walking the fields, and it disarms the people from being able to do it. And they will tell us afterwards, we saw all these giant security officials and all these police that were there. And so we figured, because the first night they weren't there, but the second night and the third night they were there, you know. And so they came to kill us, but they weren't. They were angels. Amen. Why? Because the praying saints were praying for us. We were praying, God, send your angels on assignment to protect us, to watch over your word, to perform it. And guess what? He actually sends them. He does it. This is happening. This is real. This is active. This isn't going to be seen on CNN and Fox and ABC and all this stuff. Like, this is happening real time in the nations today as people preach what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on. And so we have this this beautiful thing that's going on in the earth, where we're seeing God do all these amazing things that he has written about long ago. Now, in this vision, I go into this vision, and it's all demonic and dark. There's these three demons that appear, and they start coming at me and ripping at my flesh. And it was so real that it was more real than this room. They're tearing at me and yelling at me and screaming profane and vulgar things. And so I'm like, okay, well, this is new for me. I'm used to seeing these nice angelic things, these nice beautiful colors of heaven and the flowers that are singing and the mansions and seeing all the heroes of our faith and the beautiful angels that are all around and the throne room and all these cool things. And now it's like, I'm going to die and everything's terrible and there's all this sickness and disease and they're yelling all these vulgar cuss words at me and things and telling me who I am according to the enemy and all this stuff. And I'm like, this is nasty. And in this moment, I'm like, okay, well, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And it didn't work. They just stayed and they kept yelling and they kept screaming. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, right now I plead the blood of Jesus. They kept screaming and yelling and ripping at my flesh. And I felt like they were tearing it off. I'm warring with everything I have inside of me. And nothing is working. And it start to hurt, like my physical body. Now, I have my headphones on in my room. Our dinner guests start showing up, and I'm screaming in the other room, ah! Ah! And they're looking over at my wife like, is that Caleb? Is he okay? And she's like, oh, yeah, he's just praying in the other room. Does it always sound like that when he prays? Well, sometimes. So she's trying to get I'm having this like crazy encounter in the other room and our dinner guests are there. So anyways, I'm having this moment where I'm going through about, 10 or 15 different ways that we see deliverance in the nations. Nothing's working. And finally, I wisened up a little bit and I said, Holy Spirit, you're the teacher of all things. Can you show me what needs to happen right now? And I'm so glad I asked that question because he said, certainly. He said, these three demons were sent by believers that spoke out against you. And I said, by believers that spoke out against, like believers sending demons? Like, what? I was all confused. Like, what does this even mean, I said, can you show me in scripture, like, what you mean? And he says, Proverbs 18:21, the power of life and death is in the tongue. And it suddenly occurred to me in this moment that when we speak life over people, we release the angels of God, which I'll get into in a minute. We release God's ministering spirits into the earth to go and do their bidding across the world, but also to the negative, when we speak death over people, we're releasing the demonic over people. Why? Because in God's structure and God's government, the way he set it up, he created angels as ministering spirits, Hebrews 1:7, to assist those who inherit salvation, believers. Hebrews 1:14, they come as wind and flames and fire. Has anybody ever been in a service and you feel that heat come up on you and you're like, oh, it's the presence of God. I feel that heat on me, That might be an angel that's passing by you because they're coming from the presence of God. So they're carrying the heat that comes straight from the throne room. If you might have felt that breeze brush past your face, that might have been an angel that was going by and you're sensing it in the spirit. Now, at the end of the day, it's all the Lord. It doesn't really matter what it came from, but it lets you know that there's more going on in the spirit realm than you realize. And so in this moment, I suddenly realized that the enemy doesn't know how to create. He's not a creator. Only God's the creator. And God is the one that created all things and created these things. And so the enemy only knows what he knows from how it was when he was in God's kingdom before he was cast down. So then he tries to mimic and he tries to copy and he tries to do what he can do to the negative on the earth. And so he sends ministering spirits in his own way to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Where do they get their fuel from? From our words. Let that sink in for a minute. As soon as this was spoken to me, immediately I knew, oh, I know how to make the demons go. And this is the beautiful part. I don't know who any of these people were, and it didn't matter because if I ever knew who they were, then I would have never shared these stories publicly. That was the beautiful part. Is he just showed me a revelation about the way things work. I said, Father, forgive them, for they didn't know what they were doing. As soon as I did that, they went, and all three of them left. All of the demons left with what? Forgiveness. Believers, our words carry power. Our words have declarative, declaring power. We live in a voice-activated kingdom. We live in a place where when we speak, the angels of God are listening around us, and also the fallen is listening around us. They are going into motion based on what we are speaking. And we, with our tongue, James 3, can create a forest fire. Why? Because when we start declaring death and pain and suffering and anguish and steal, kill, and destroy, the enemy's like, oh, I know how to do that. Let me go take care of that for them. They said they want to be sick. Well, Lord, they're so sick. I just wish I could take their sickness on me so that you could make me sick instead of them, God. Sounds like a nice little, like, you know, sacrificial prayer that some of us might pray. The enemy is like, oh, sweet. I'd love to go make you sick. I'd be honored to take care of your prayer requests for you. Uh-oh. Our words have power, guys. And when we start to declare life, life, life. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I declare life over you. I declare healing over you. I declare victory over you. I declare that the name of Jesus, that you are the head and not the tail, that chains break off your life, that he's comforting, that he's bringing so many victories your way, that the things that have caused you to suffer, may they be broken in Jesus' name. I declare life over you. Do you see how this works? We declare life. We declare freedom. We declare joy over people. We declare that God is for us, not against us, that he has plans to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future, that he's doing things in abundance over our lives, that he's causing the blood of Jesus to cover over a multitude of sins, and he's freeing us from chains that have held us for bondage, that he's restoring relationships, that he's reconciling, that he's doing things that only he can do. Even if we think they're too far gone, he's making up for a multitude of past things, and he's bringing life and abundance to relationships. When we start to speak these things, it carries the weight of an eternity of God. And if you look at the book of Psalm 103, verse 20, it says that he has sent his angels. Praise the Lord, you his angels, who watch over his word to perform it. What do? They watch over his word to perform it. Where do they hear the word? From our mouths. Genesis 28:12 tells us that the angels were ascending and descending on what? Jacob's ladder. Why were they descending? They're ascending up to heaven, getting their missions and their assignments. They're descending into the earth to do the what? I heard it somewhere. To do the missions. What are their missions? Hebrews 1:7, they're ministering angels sent, ministering spirits sent to assist those who inherit salvation. Who has inherited salvation? Anybody? 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 And if you haven't, you can get saved tonight in Jesus' name. But if you've given your life to Jesus, they have been sent to help accomplish purposes. What purposes? Psalm 139, verse 16, you saw me before I was born. Every day was laid out and recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Do you realize that before you were born, Eric, there was a book written about your life from chapter one to chapter at the end, whatever that may be? He wrote that book about you before you were ever born. And you? And you? And you? And you? Have you ever heard the phrase, redeeming the time for the days are evil? Why? Why do you need to redeem the time? Because he wrote out a perfect plan for your life. And what happens? You come up to an altar. You might feel like you're 7 years behind schedule. And you get down on your knees and you say, oh, Jesus, I repent. I know I messed up. I got off course somewhere along the way, but tonight, in the name of Jesus, I repent, I surrender. And in an instant, he puts you 7 years back into the future, right back on course. He can turn things in an instant. He can change things in a moment. Why? Because you put your faith and your belief into that word that was received. You heard it. You believed it. The angels of God who have been sent on their missions to get you on course with what he's wrote about in your life are now actively putting that into motion. He's bringing a speaker like me. He's putting it on Eric's heart to bring Caleb in on a Monday night Pentecost conference to share this word with you to get you back on course. You see how it works? Like, they're always working around us at all times. So many of us say, well, how do I know what to speak? Or how do I know what his will is? How do I know what's in the book? How do I know what he's written? How do I make sure that I'm on course? Well, the really beautiful part about this is that we are all human, and we all make a lot of mistakes. And sometimes we say bad things, don't we? Anybody? Have you ever said one wrong thing in your life? I've got both hands up, you know. Maybe that person cut you off on the way to church tonight, and you might have said something to them, you know, I don't know. maybe somebody else was making you mad. Maybe you got a family member that made you angry and you came into the service angry tonight. Maybe there's something else going on. Maybe there's a debt collector coming after you. Maybe you're not sure how you're going to make it. Maybe you got health problems and you just went to the doctor this week and you haven't even told a soul yet. And that cancer needs to disappear right now in the name of Jesus. Get out. Receive that healing right now. Cancer, get out of that body right now in Jesus' name. That's a lie from the pit of hell. We rebuke that stealing, killing, and destroying right now. I declare healing over you right now. Maybe you've put your agreement with what a doctor said about your life, and you're like, you know what? My mom had cancer, and my granddaddy had cancer, and now I got cancer. My kids are probably going to have cancer. Enough! It's time to break that curse in Jesus' name. How? By saying in the name of Jesus, I rebuke, I uproot these words that I've spoken that are against the destiny of the life that you have written about me before I was born. Do you think that God wrote in your books that he wants you to suffer and be in anguish and be in pain and to be dying your whole life and to be poverty all the time and to just suck at everything? Anybody believe that? I'm checking. Okay, I don't see any hands over here. I'm scanning here. Josh, am I missing anybody? I see one that believes it in the back over here. Can I tell you something? John 10:10. How does the first part of that verse start? Jesus came to give
life.
What?
Life.
I don't think you believe it.
Life.
I said Jesus came to give what? And
life
more abundantly. He gives abundant life. He wrote your plan and destiny with abundant life. Why? Because if God can flow through you, he's gonna flow right to you. It's not even about you. It's so that you can be an outflow of his goodness and blessing and mercy and peace and deliverance and freedom. I was a dead man, but now I'm alive. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. I used to be down in the dumps, but Jesus set me free, and now he can set you free. You see how it works? He flows through you. So that he can activate the faith in other people. Why? Because your words have power. Because they carry the living God and the breath of the Holy Spirit in them. Because they overcame him who was attacking them by the blood of the Lamb. What was that? What Jesus did on the cross in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Woo! And the word of their
testimony.
And what's your testimony? It's your words. It's what happened to you that nobody can take away from you. Well, I don't know if that really makes sense. Well, all I know is that's what happened to me. And may he do it with you in Jesus' name. They overcame because your words have power. They have authority. Why? Matthew 16:19 tells us, I wish I had keys up here. You got a pair of keys, anybody I can borrow? Anybody got keys? Here we go. Chuck saving the day. Thank you, Chuck. All right, here we go. We got Chuck's keys here. And Matthew 16:19 tells us what? It says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom, that whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So what does that mean? It means that your words hold the keys. Everybody stick your tongue out. Now do it at your neighbor. We gotta have a little fun in this church here. Anybody? But so everybody stick your tongue at somebody. Your words carry the keys. Your words carry the keys of the kingdom. What's in the kingdom? Authority. Why don't you guys just tell me everything that's in heaven's kingdom? Thank you, Chuck. Why don't you guys tell me what's in heaven? Everybody, just tell me. Power, authority, love, blessing, riches, peace, overcoming, no sickness, no disease. What else? No tears, no pain. No devil, no death. Come on, is that all you got? You're going to be there for eternity. What else you got? Grace, life, food. Maybe they got dinosaurs there, I don't know. Animals. What else is in his kingdom? Everlasting life. Mansions. Anybody else? The King of Kings. I was waiting for somebody to say his name. Jesus. The Lord of Lords. The Prince of Peace. The Great I Am. The Holy One. Who else? What about every person that's ever died that believed in Jesus? But the guy who wrote this, King David. Everybody that's there. Every angel with no wings and two wings and four wings and six wings, all the ones that got the wills within the wills and the wills, and he got the eyes all around, and the 24 elders that never stopped bowing down saying, holy, 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 say it with me, holy, 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 holy. They got these angels flying around, colors that aren't even invented here on the earth. They got the sea of glass that goes before him. They got the river that flows straight from the throne room. They got the throne room itself made of all of the different pearly gates and all of the gemstones and all the different things. Like, this is who we are talking to. The one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the hills too, and he owns it all. He owns it all. He owns it all, and it's under his dominion. And what does he do? He gives you the keys to the kingdom? Are you kidding me? Everybody, hold out your hand. Close your eyes. Hold out your hand. Imagine this. God puts a key in your hand right now. Everybody receive that imaginatively right now. He places that key in your hands right now. And he says, this key gives you access to all the warehouses of heaven. Use it whenever you want. Have fun. Open your eyes. How do you access it with whenever you want? I've got a key for that. Everybody say, I got a key for that. And where's that key? It's in my mouth in Jesus' name. What I declare, what I decree, what I agree with, what I speak forth, I loose healing in this room right now in Jesus' name. I bind every sickness and disease. Do you see how this works? I bind cancer. I bind sickness. I bind suffering. I bind financial poverty. I break its power and its grip on you right now. I loose the abundance of God. I loose freedom over you. If somebody in here has faith to hear, there's angels watching over his word to perform it right now in your life. In this service right now, not some distant day down in, right now, if anybody would grab hold of this in Jesus' name, this is the God that we serve. He is here right now. He wants to do something in our midst. Some of us will say, well, how do I know how this works? Let's look at Revelation chapter 8 real quick. Revelation 8. There's a beautiful picture in heaven here. I love this passage. Verse 3 through 5, then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. Then the angel filled the incense burner with fire from the altar and threw it down upon the earth, and thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake. Here we have a picture in heaven of this giant bowl where all of the prayers of who are gathering? Who are the saints? All the believers, that's right. So right now, if you start to pray a prayer, where's that prayer going? Going into the bowl. And why does he mix it with fire in the bowl? Anybody? What does fire do? Purifies. So what does that mean? That means sometimes I pray things that aren't in my book, that aren't God's will. God, right now, I just pray that you would smite that person from the earth. Lord, that person's causing me a great deal of agony. I just pray that you'd take them early, Lord. Nobody probably prayed that in here, right? Because we're all Holy Ghost filled children of God in this room. Sometimes we're like, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, and maybe this is God's will, that I would have 87 mansions in Jesus' name. Because you know that I have need of it, Lord. Maybe he wants to give you 87 mansions. That's between you and him. But most of you guys, that's probably not in the book he wrote about you. And maybe you're not getting 87 mansions. Now, if he has that for you, you can remember me in this moment. Be happy to receive one of those in Jesus' name from you. We pray prayers sometimes that go into the bowl that do not need to be in the bowl. And so why does the fire come? It comes to kind of purify those out. So we got this giant bowl. It's filling. Here comes the fire. Kind of goes down. There's still a little bit left there. All the good, pure prayers. And then here comes some more prayer. Boom, 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 boom. Fire. Here comes some fire. Here comes some fire. And all of a sudden, what happens? You get to that tipping point. And what is heaven's reaction to your prayers? The prayers of the saints, your words, your prayers, your active releasing of what God wants to do in the earth. What happens from heaven? He tips the bowl over, and where does it go? It comes flying right back down at that request you've been praying for with lightning, flashes of thunder and lightning, and an earthquake responding from heaven onto that situation. How many of y'all know you need a breakthrough sometimes? But you just need to get to that tipping point. When we pray, many times we're declaring and believing and agreeing with what God wants to do. But then there's these other moments where we pray and we're a little bit off kilter, but it's like we're still getting there, just a little bit slower pace. How many of you guys want to know a faster way to speed up this process? Anybody? All right. I got like 3 or 4 hands here. Okay. Well, if you want to know, the secret is actually to pray in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. Because why? What happens? The Holy Spirit, it says that the Spirit of God himself utters words that we cannot even express, and groanings from within. And what does the Holy Spirit pray? His perfect will, which is written where? In the Word, yes, but more specifically about your life, where is it written? In the book about your life found in Psalm 139:16. Why? Because when God wrote that book before you were born, the Holy Spirit was the pen writing it all down for him. And what's his goal? To see everything that God wrote about your life come to pass. So you start praying in the Holy Ghost. You start to release that thing. And what happens? You begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. You build yourself up in your most holy faith, agreeing with the will he's written about your life, agreeing with the will he's written about your life and your life and your life. Sometimes you don't even know what you're praying, but I'm in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, I'm releasing the glory of God into someone else's situation. I'm agreeing for that missionary right now that's in trouble over in Africa in the bush, about to be speared to death, bringing the Bible to a language they've never brought to. And then I'm over here in Antarctica trying to help the Eskimos out in Jesus' name. And then I'm over here trying to, like, you see how it's going? And then you're praying for yourself. You're building yourself up in your most holy faith. And you're praying in the Holy Ghost. And what's happening? His perfect will is being accomplished. It's being driven. It's being caught up in that bowl until all of a sudden there's a tipping point from heaven. And bam, there's a response that comes onto your situation. Why does it happen? Because we just accelerated that process in Jesus' name. How many of you all know that Jesus wants to do something tonight? Come on. When we begin to agree with what he said, when we begin to declare with what he said, when we begin to take steps with what he said, then we know he's going to accomplish it. I'm going to share one more thing, and then I'll go into to the closing part here. There is a verse in Hebrews chapter 12 that says that God is the author, the starter, the writer, the beginning. He is the author of our faith and the what? He's the finisher of our faith. So if God's over there and he writes it and he's over here to receive it, then what is our job? Hebrews 11:1 tells us faith is the reality of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not yet seen. So what is faith? Faith is the reality, right? What is that reality? It's actually not an ethereal concept. Many people think it's faith. Oh, I'm just going to go walk on water and have faith in Jesus' name. Ah! You get a little bit wet on the way down. I actually have tried to walk on water multiple times. I finally succeeded, I was in Minnesota on the frozen tundra up there. And I did happen to survive. I actually made it all the way across the lake. I did quite well, actually. So maybe you guys should try. God is the author of your faith and the finisher. So when God starts something in you, even at a service like tonight, he will breathe something into your life. He'll give you a vision, a dream, a prophetic word will come out. Something will happen. And he births something. He starts something. And he creates it in your heart. And he's the finisher of it. So what's your job if he's the author and the finisher? Faith is not blind, right? Many people have this misconception of faith. So if I hear the Lord tell me, that I'll give you a story from my life. This was a crusade we were going to do in Pakistan. This was prior to COVID-19. We didn't know COVID was going to hit. Nobody knew. All of a sudden, I feel the Lord tell me 10 months in advance, I'm supposed to go to Pakistan at a certain time to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to this village that had never heard the gospel before. And so we start planning 10 months in advance. We start fundraising. We start trying to raise $100,000+ budget. We're trying to set our plane tickets and our dates. We're believing. Why? Because God birthed something into my heart. He started it. He wrote it. He breathed it. He showed me the page in my book where that was going to happen. And so now I've received the birthing of what he has spoken. But what was my job? My job was to keep walking. Now we're 8 months away. Now we're 7 months away. Now we're 6 months away. Now we're 5 months away. We're still short on money. We're still short on time. Maybe we should delay it. Maybe we should stop. We're 4 months away. We're 3 months away. You know what? We don't have the money yet. It'd probably be wise if we just moved it to another time. No, 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 no. God told me it was going to be on that month. I knew I was supposed to go on that month. 3 months away, 2 months away, 1 month away. We still don't have the money. 2 weeks away. I don't understand. I don't understand when this is going to happen. I don't get it, but I know I'm supposed to go right now. About a week away, Pakistan and India start shooting at each other, shoot a fighter pilot down. Somebody gets captured by the opposing country. They're about to go to war. Pakistan closes their airspace. I still need about $35,000. The countries are going to war, but God told me 10 months ago, well, in all wisdom, I think we should delay our crusade now in Jesus' name. You know, the Lord has spoken. I guess he's just not in this one. How many of you would have done that? And it's okay to be honest. Pretty much everybody in the room probably would have quit right there, right? But the Lord spoke it. I knew it. Why did he speak it? Because he knew I needed to see it to walk to it. He knew if he had my heart and my faith that I would keep walking. Because he doesn't have to tell me twice anymore. I don't do that anymore. If he says it once, I go. And I'll jump out high. And if I miss it, I get it wrong sometimes, but I'm still going to go. He's going to see that I jumped and I tried. Now we're 1 week away. Now we're 3 days away. Now we're 1 day away. We still need about $20,000. The airspace is closed in the country. Now we're at the day of. I go to the airport. Well, sir, you can't board the plane because the airspace is closed and no planes are going into the country. Right, I understand that, but I'd like a ticket, please. Well, sir, you can't get on the plane because there is no plane that's going there. Yeah, but the first leg of the trip goes to Dubai. So can I just go to Dubai? Well, no, because you have a round-trip ticket, sir, and so we can't let you stop in Dubai. You have to get off. Okay, well, can I change my ticket to a one-way ticket to Dubai, please? Sure. So I change it to a one-way ticket to Dubai. I get on the plane. The airspace is still closed in Pakistan. I land in Dubai. I've never seen such chaos in all my life. One of the most beautiful airports in the world, richest cities in the world. There's people everywhere. There's people just literally all over the ground. Some of them have been there for 5, 6, 7 days sleeping out of their suitcases on the ground because they can't go home to their nations. The airspace is closed. And here I am, the only white guy in the airport, trying to go to Pakistan, and they're telling me it's closed. And so I stand in this line, and I'm like, the Lord told me to go, so it's gonna be there. Now I stand in this line for 5 hours. It was the longest line I've ever stood in. I had to pee so bad just an hour or two in. I was like ready to give up, but I'm like, I came all the way here. I'm going. I'm going to make it in Jesus' name. And I was more worried about if I was going to pee in my pants than if I was going to get to the front of that line. I knew that God was going to open the door, but I didn't know if I'd make it to the front or not because I had nobody to hold my place in line, you know? And so here I am, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost for 5 hours straight. Open the doors, Lord. Send the planes. Create the airspace. Move on the officials. In the name of Jesus. Meanwhile, sir, I just want to make sure you're going to the right place. You're going there. Okay. Stopped multiple times. All of a sudden, the person in front of me reaches over the counter and grabs the attendant by the neck and starts shaking them. I just want to go home. And now here it's my turn. I said, are you okay? Yes. Yes, sir. I'm okay. How can I help you? Well, sir, I'd like a ticket into Pakistan, please. Well, sir, as you know, all of the airspace is closed in the country. That's why all these people are all over the airport right now, you know. Yeah, I'm aware of that. But if you could just look one more time, there should be a plane available now. Okay. typing on the keys. Huh. Lord, I just want to tell you, it looks like they just opened up a plane into Lahore, Pakistan. I said, yeah, I that's what I told you, yeah. He's like, okay, so what did you need help with? I'd like a ticket on the plane, please. So you don't have a ticket? Well, I did have a ticket, but they made me change it to a one-way. So I actually don't have a ticket anymore to get in. Well, you know, all these people here, they're trying to go home and they have tickets. I said, yeah, I know. Okay. He types a little more. Prints it, gives me a ticket. I said, how much will that cost? He said, oh, you can just take it and go. He didn't charge me for the ticket. Hallelujah! Through another series of events, Josh gets in later through a different airline, different city, and ends up making it also. We're the only two that got in, only two planes that got in over the course of days. We were the two, and he was coming from a different state at that time. Why am I telling you this? Because faith is the reality. God showed me his intended reality for Pakistan at a certain date and time in the future, and I knew it. My job is to walk to it. God's job is to finish it. But I have to keep walking so that he can finish it. I could have aborted at any single one of those moments without the money, without the time, without the resources. I could have aborted when they told me that the plane was closed. I could have aborted when they said, you can't get on the plane, sir. I could have aborted when I got there and they said that there's no plane. I could have said, okay, I understand, and walked away. Now what do I do, God? He wanted my faith so that he could finish it. Faith is not blind, friends. If God shows you something, it isn't just that you stand on something because you believe. No, he shows you a reality, heaven's plan written in the book for a situation, and then you walk to it. Why am I sharing that? Because I think there's some of you in this church tonight, I was feeling very, very particularly to break this stronghold, that some of you guys are believing for things that you just are trying to believe for that God hasn't shown you. And you're trying to stand in the gap and believe in war, and he didn't declare that over you. But he did share some of you guys with some things that you have not been walking to, that you aborted prematurely, that you didn't see come to pass. In that crusade, we ended up seeing 70,000 people come to Christ in that crusade. 70,000, a few months later, COVID hit. That village was ravaged with like a 52% death rate in that area. I know today that there's 30, 40,000 plus people in heaven based on the statistics, because we went and didn't abort that plan. That's my mission. That's what God has called me to do. That's what he's called Joshua to do. That's what he's told us to do, is to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, to grab hold of the harvest because it's ripe. He's doing something in this time and in this season. And with faith like that, he can move mountains. He only needs a mustard seed of it, and he can do it. What does he need the mustard seed of? The mustard seed isn't just some blind act that you believe in. It's that you're walking to what he showed you. If he shows you, you walk to it and you will see it come to pass in Jesus' name. Because it's who is the one that's going to finish it, not you. He's going to finish it. You might be right at the end, and I don't know how I'm going to make it over the finish line. That's up to him to do it. But you just keep stepping. You just keep going. You just keep warring. You just keep standing your ground. You just keep saying, I will not stop. I will not back down. I will not leave what God has shown me. I will stand on this. I will run to this thing, and he will see it come to pass. We are living in a day and a generation that needs people of faith. Faith is the missing link. It is the missing thing from this generation of believers right now. Many of us want to pray for the mountains to move away, but that's not what it says moves mountains. Ouch. It doesn't say prayer moves mountains. It says faith moves mountains. You need to be a praying people. You need to be full of all of the things and the fruits that he gives you. But faith is the thing that moves the mountains, and it's not blind. It's somebody who won't stop. It's somebody who won't stop. It's somebody who won't stop. It's somebody who presses forward and keeps going. It's somebody who knows that
powerful declarative key that's in their mouth that releases and looses the kingdom of God onto situations that are broken and hurting and dark, and that declares the light of God onto a situation. There's people in here that need a breakthrough tonight. And tonight I've come with faith to believe for the impossible. I've come for faith to believe that God wants to give you a breakthrough. I've come to believe that God wants to do something in your situation, but it's not just so that you can have goosebumps or fall over or have a little moment where you get to cry on the carpet, and it might be a holy, precious moment, and I don't want to diminish that, but it's so that God can do something through your life. It isn't so that we can just be spirit-filled couch potatoes that just fill the goosebumps of God all the time. There is a world that is dying and going to hell that needs the life of Jesus Christ that he has put inside of you. He needs the word of your testimony, believer. That he needs the word of your declarative testimony, believer. It isn't just that you just live the gospel and it's a nice hunky-dory life. No, you go into darkness and you declare light. You go into situations and you release healing. You go into places of cursing and you release blessing. You go into darkness and you declare the light of Christ, because we are the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. So let your light shine. How? By declaring the goodness of God in the darkness. This is what the world needs. We cannot hide our lights under bushels. We must be bold and declarative and showing what God wants to do in our generation by somebody who believes. How is it released? Through your words. There's an old quote that gets often misconstrued by St. Francis of Assisi, and he says, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. And there's a generation of believers that has bought into this lie, and they say, oh, it's a nice way to live your life for the gospel so that people can see you're a Christian. Yes, you should be living your life so that people know you are a Christian, but you should also be declaring and speaking about it. You should be saying, oh, I went to church and the Lord met me. Oh, I was over at the grocery store and this person had it with a cane was there, and I released the presence of God over. Oh, I went over to this police officer and I paid for their meal in Jesus' name. I went over to this person on the street and I blessed them. I helped the hungry. I helped the naked. I helped the poor. I put my arm around them. I brought people to church. I declared the gospel. I shared my testimony. This is what the world needs. We must be using the power so that the angels of God can move onto situations, so that demonic strongholds can break in the power of Jesus. We have to be full of the gospel working power by declaring it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In just a moment, we're going to go, if somebody wants to play in the background here with me, we're going to go into a moment of prayer in just a moment. But before we do that, we're going to just take a moment to have a time for the offering, and then we'll go into prayer for healing and deliverance and all of this. And then we'll invite people to the front. And I believe God's going to do some supernatural things down here. I'm going to have Joshua pray also with, so he can release what God has put into his heart. We're going to declare from the mic and then lay hands on people. But we are going to many nations. We have seen 2 million people come to Christ now in this 8 years. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. And we are seeing God do some supernatural things all around the world. I am in 2 weeks going to Pakistan. We're expecting about 200,000 people to be there. And then in 4 weeks, I'm going to Tanzania. We're bringing 36 Americans with us to Tanzania to help activate them on the mission field and to awaken the call of evangelism in their life. Looking forward to that also. We're going to Pakistan later this year. We're going to India later this year. We have 9 people on our team. So you see Josh and I, you see our lovely wives and our families. We got 9 people on our team that are working in this ministry. And we're doing it so that we can see the gospel go to the ends of the earth, so that we can see the lost saved and the broken restored in Jesus' name. Many people ask, what are the best ways that you can support and be a part of the ministry? First way, you can visit our table. You can grab some merch and things like that in person or online. We've got books and shirts. And at the end, if there's time, I'm happy to go back there if you want to wait, and I'll sign the books. But I'm going to make sure I have some time to pray here first. The second way, you can become a prayer partner with this ministry. We have 168 people that pray with us 1 hour every week. And we are believing God for 1,000 prayer partners. These are people that say, I'm going to pray every Tuesday at 3 p.m. That's my time. and we can count on you, and we know you're there. We give special updates to people on our prayer team, and you hear behind the scenes things that we don't share on public social media, so you can hear kind of what's really going on in these situations. So if you are an intercessor and want to pray, we'd love to have you be a part. The third way is through monthly partnerships. We have people that will support our ministry. We have two people that do $1 a month and two people that do $1,000 a month and everything in between. 287 people that stand with this ministry every month. And you might say, hey, I want to be a partner with you guys. I want to help send you to the nations, and you can count on me every month. And the last way is through one-time giving, and there's going to be an offering here in just a moment. In the offering, everything that comes in is not going to me. It's not going to Josh. It's going straight to our Pakistan crusade. We have about $125,000 left to fundraise. We leave in 2 weeks. This happens all the time. We just believe God for big amounts. But you may be in here and you may say, hey, I'll cover the whole thing. You may say, hey, I got a dollar. How many people do you want to see come to Christ? It's about $1 a person that's coming to Christ right now. $1, it's insane. I pinched myself, like, is this really true? But $1 a person. How many people do you want to go to heaven? We'll be the mouthpiece, we'll be the hands and feet, and we'll go so you don't have to go in this situation. But will you send us? Will you step forward and send us through giving? And this is something that we're seeing over and over again. We're going to set three families free from slavery while we're there also. We're going to be ministering to the pastors. We're going to be ministering to believers in conferences, also encouraging them and ministering on television over there as well. But yeah, we're believing for 200,000 Muslims to hear about Jesus. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So if you want to be a part of that, we're going to take up an offering here in just a moment. Are we doing ushers or this? Okay, here. Okay, so. Oh, there's buckets. Okay. Pastor, do you want to do the prayer? And then I'll. So. Yeah, we'll just. You can give the instructions. I don't.
All right. Hallelujah. Stand up, everybody. Come on, Brother Mike. Bring those buckets up here for us. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to pray over your offering. Hallelujah. I thank God that He is good ground in Jesus' name. So praise you, Jesus. Obviously, there's the QR code up there. You can give that way directly as well. All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to give into this ministry. Lord God, we know what you're going to do already. We know that angels have already been set forth to Pakistan. We know that you're there. God, we thank you for the safety of his team. We thank you they're covered by the blood of the Lamb in Jesus' name. We thank you that every devil is defeated and cannot touch him and his team in Jesus' name. And we thank you now for the thousands, the tens of thousands that will be saved, healed, set free, and delivered in Pakistan in just 2 weeks. Now, God, we thank you that you will and do, Father, what you said. We've taken that step of faith. He's taken that step of faith. And God, that money will come in. And God, I thank you for blessing those that give into this ministry, Lord God, increasing them, Lord God, that they may also give even more. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for that tonight. Amen and amen. Come on up and bring your offerings unto the Lord this evening. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 We give you praise and glory, Lord. We give you praise and glory. Praise and glory. Praise and glory. 'Cause we love you and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. Can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus, 'cause we love you and we'll never stop. We'll can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough, 'cause all this is for you, Jesus. 'Cause we love you. You can stand to your feet. We'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. 'Cause we love you. We can't get enough, 'cause all this is for you, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just declare that the glory of God fall up in this place right now in Jesus' name. And if you just want to lift your hands to heaven right now, Father, I just declare blessing over my friends right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'd begin to capture their hearts and prepare them for what you're about to do. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you'd release the fire of God upon them right now, head to toe. I pray right now that they would even begin to sense what you are doing in their lives right now, Lord, head to toe right now. I just pray angels that the angels of the Lord would begin to minister to every single person right now, all across the room, all the unspoken needs, all the desires, all the things that are manifesting and going on in their lives right now. I just declared, Lord, that you would give breakthroughs right now, that the spirit of breakthrough would come into this place right now, that you would begin to do something supernatural on the inside right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray right now that you would come from the east to the west, the north to the south. Holy Spirit, that you would awaken the four winds and breathe upon these people right now, God. That you would breathe the breath of life in Jesus' name. That they would awaken from their slumber. Any darkness, any disease, any sickness that is ailing their bodies right now, that's ailing their callings, that's preventing them from moving forward right now, I just break it off of them right now in the name of Jesus right now, head to toe, head to toe, head to toe, head to toe. Wash them right now in the presence of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Shodra kata mosododo mose. Hindara basandodo moso. Rebebebebebe ketando moso. If you're in this place and you'd like a breakthrough right now, just come forward to these altars. You can just begin to move forward. We're going to begin to call out things and lay hands on people. If you need a breakthrough of any kind, if you want a fresh impartation, if you want a sickness or a healing or prayer for something, we're going to release the fire of God on those that come. And we're just going to pray for God to do something supernatural in your bodies, to do something supernatural in your callings. There's something about the impartation, and it's something not to take for granted. You see this all throughout Scripture, where there's an impartation moment, and there's something holy that takes place. You might go, oh, I just had a speaker lay hands on me, or oh, I just had this little moment. But no, there's something supernatural that takes place in the Spirit. And it begins to transition people into callings and purpose and destiny. And just stay in an attitude of prayer and an atmosphere of prayer here. But there's something that is going to shift, I believe, in this room right now. Just press forward. Yeah, there's many coming. Just press forward, and we're going to begin to pray in just a moment here. Hallelujah. 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 We love you, Jesus. 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 And holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah, Lord. Holy, 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 holy. Awaken, awaken, awaken. Awaken, awaken, awaken right now. Awaken every heart. Awaken every heart. Right now, let faith rise in this place. 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 Awaken destinies. Awaken callings right now. Awaken callings right now.
Holy, 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 holy.
So just begin to pray in your prayer language right now. Just begin to pray in your prayer language right now. Just begin to call out the name of Jesus. Just say his name, say his name, say his name. Receive, 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 receive. Receive. Fire, 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 fire. Right now, I break the spirit of unbelief. There's some of you in here, you have a spirit of unbelief on you. And what they said in scripture is, I have unbelief, but Lord, help my unbelief. And right now, this is something that will prevent and stand in the way of what God wants to do. So right now, I rebuke the spirit of unbelief off you. If that's you, just say, Lord, help my unbelief. Say, Lord, help my unbelief. Just say it right now. Say it out loud. Lord, help my unbelief. And right now, he's going to give the breakthroughs. He's going to give the breakthroughs. There's somebody with a right knee injury. Who has a right knee injury? Right knee.
Healed.
Right now, healed. Right now, in the name of Jesus. 100% full mobility. Right now, in Jesus' name. Instant. Receive right now in Jesus' name. Impartation.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Awaken our hearts right now.
Hidro bo 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 santa da basa right now, just tell the Lord what it is that your request is, what your need is. Just ask him right now. Say, Lord, I'm requesting this. I'm asking this. Whatever that is right now, present that need to the Lord, and there's going to be answers right now. I believe there's answers coming to your situations right now. Some of you guys are needing some significant answers right now. We're going to declare those open right now. Ask him, ask him, ask him. He's the way maker. 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 You've come here weary and heavy laden, but he says, I will give you rest. 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 Rest. Receive rest. Rest. Receive rest right now. Peace. Peace to every storm right now in Jesus' name. Peace. Yeah, receive. Receive. Woo. Peace. Somebody's come in here with suicide tonight. You've come in here with a peace. You've come here with Jesus, breakthrough, breakthrough. Hallelujah. Somebody in here, you've come here, been battling suicide, cutting yourself. You've been hiding your cuts. And if you'll be set free right now, he will set you free. Just lift your hands right now to heaven. And if that's you, right now, breakthrough in Jesus' name. Breakthrough in Jesus' name. Breakthrough in Jesus' name. Fire of God, receive, receive. Receive right now in Jesus' name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. For they will be filled. Right now, just receive, 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 receive what you have hungered for. Receive it right now in Jesus' name. Whew. Hallelujah. Truth, he's the life. He's the way, he's the truth and the life. He'll show you the ways right now. Right now, Father, in Jesus' name, I just declare open healing right now in Jesus' name, head to toe right now. I declare healing, the healing power of God. If you need a healing, lift your hand to heaven right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I just declare every injury, Every healing right now, be healed right now in Jesus' name. I declare to those that are dealing with heart issues, heart arrhythmias, heart disease, instantaneous healing right now in Jesus' name. Hit your body right now. Your entire heart right now, be healed. Take a deep breath right now. Somebody just got healed of their asthma right now. Somebody just got healed of asthma in Jesus' name. There is a healing right now. So take that deep breath. Receive right now in Jesus' name. You just got a healing. Somebody else right now dealing with issues. You've been having you don't need to raise your hands for this, but you've been having recurring hemorrhoid issues causing you a lot of pains. Right now, in Jesus' name, I just declare healing over that. I pray for that recurring issue to be broken right now, in Jesus' name, for that pain to cease, for you to be completely healed right now, in the name of Jesus, so that you have no more pain, no more issues in that area. I pray for that chronic disease to go, that chronic issue to go, in Jesus' name, that you'd be instantly healed. Somebody's been dealing with night terrors, you haven't been able to sleep. And right now, the Lord wants to bring breakthrough in that. Right now, I pray peace would enter your situation. I pray that the darkness right now would be driven out of your home and out of your room. And those doors would be closed in Jesus' name. And right now, I declare the angels of God to begin to come and to minister in that setting right now in Jesus' name. That you would sleep tonight peacefully. Your testimony is coming tomorrow morning when you wake up. And you slept through the night in Jesus' name. There's somebody here dealing with acid reflux. It's been a terrible thing in your life. Acid reflux, your esophagus has been burned on the inside. And the doctors say it's just going to kind of be like that. And you got to have to maintenance pain. But right now, I declare an instantaneous healing on the inside to that acid and that those burns. That instantly on the inside, you are healed in Jesus' name. I pray right now for that acid reflux and those internal pains and burns to be completely removed right now in the name of Jesus. Be instantly healed. Father, right now I declare for those that are dealing with issues in their ears, there's some that have come here with deafness or partial hearing loss, and you have carried this and it's annoying. You can only hear out of one ear. Put your hand on your ear right now if that's you. And right now I just declare perfect hearing in Jesus' name. Receive. Let this be the word that you hear. Jesus, heal every ear right now, every deafness, every hearing impairment, every blockage right now, be broken off right now in Jesus' name. Whew, Jesus.
There's some people in here that you've had some ankle issues. I'm seeing one strongly for the left ankle, and there's another one that has a right ankle issue. So we'll just pray for all the ankles then. In Jesus' name, we just pray for all the ankles to be healed now. In Jesus' name, that those things, the clicking, the soreness, the lack of mobility, that be gone now in Jesus' name. Be a full mobility in your ankle. Those things are healed. Even if you may have had a surgery where there's a screw in it, where you're like, oh, I can't do this. The doctor told me that. We cancel that, those words, those things over you, and you will have freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. There's somebody in here that's dealing with whiplash. They hurt their neck. That's been an issue for a long time. And it gives you headaches. It just makes it really hard to go through your day. Right now, God's just healing your neck. You're gonna feel like He's pouring water on you, and I just see this picture of the water being poured on you. This is cooling, and all of a sudden you're gonna notice that your head doesn't hurt anymore. That your neck, as you start to move it around, your neck doesn't hurt anymore. If anyone's having any neck issues, go ahead and start moving it around. God's been healing that right now. Somebody who's having nasal issues. There's been some stuff with your nasal passages that's been causing a lot of problems. It might even be going into the ear as well, just because they're connected. We just cancel that. All those things, those infections, those issues that you are having trouble breathing. Maybe it's sleep apnea. that's being affected as well in that, that those be healed now in Jesus' name, that you will breathe well, that you will not have those issues anymore, that you're going to the doctors for right now, and that you're having to be hooked up to machines or thinking about surgeries for, but that be healed now in the mighty name of Jesus. And there's somebody with lung issues. There's somebody that's having an issue with one of your lungs or this area, the rib area. Is there somebody in here that's dealing with that right now? Father, right now, we just call a healing right now in Jesus' name. Let that be taken care of. No more issues. No more issues. You didn't give me any more clarity on that, so I don't know what else to pray for, but you do, God. So, in the name of Jesus, make it better. Be healed now in Jesus' name. Be healed now in Jesus' name. Migraines. Okay, you, and who else? I would say you. Okay. All right. Let's. You guys come over here real quick. You guys got any family with you right now? Who's got any family or friends that came with you? If your family or friends has come on over here, you're gonna pray for them. You're gonna lay hands on them, and they're gonna get healed. By you, this is that activation thing that we're going to do real quick. We do this with kids and they see healings happen. We do this with people that got saved just a couple minutes prior and they see miracles happen. It is not about us. We are not the healers. God is. Amen. So we're just going to see that happen right now. Okay. You guys are going to put your hands on their heads and you're going to just repeat after me in the mighty name of Jesus. All migraines go now. Do not return ever again. Thank you, Jesus. Freedom. 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 The reason I love having your loved ones praying for you in this moment is because they hate seeing that in you just as much as you do. They hate seeing you suffer, and they love you. They love you a lot more than I do. I don't know you. So, but you guys can declare that migraines do not live in that house anymore. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're like, that doesn't dwell in me anymore. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. I'm going to be walking in freedom. There'll be no more light sensitivity. There'll be no more raging headaches. There'll be no more debilitating pain. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare this. Amen. 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 I'm sorry, you too, right? To talk to some of you right now, and some of you have been waiting on us, whoever has the microphone, to be the voice of God for you, and God uses mouthpieces like us all the time, and he can use anybody, right? But he wants to speak to some of you right now personally. So I'm just gonna pray in the spirit just quietly over here. I want you all just to close your eyes for just a minute. Just say, God, what do you want to say? I'm going to quiet myself and try to listen, because so many of us spend our prayer times being the only one that talks when it's supposed to be a conversation. So right now we're going to take a minute just to listen. And when he speaks, or you get an inkling or a picture or something like that, I encourage you to write it down or record a voice memo of it for later too, because these are the things that you want to document and hold on to, because you got to honor it. It's the voice of the Lord. All right, so we're going to just take a couple seconds right now, because he's wanting to speak to some of you in this room. There's no junior Holy Spirit. You don't graduate until when you're an adult that you can start hearing from God and working and doing things. He wants to talk to you now. He wants to work with you now. He wants to develop a relationship with you now. Man, some of you that are there's tension between really just being willing to sit with him and let him have your whole heart and your whole mind, and then trying to do what your friends are doing. The God of the universe wants your attention and wants to have conversations with you. That's an honor. That's a privilege. I would lean into that as hard as you can. Get to know him. Start developing that habit of talking to him daily and then trying to practice listening.
holy. And holy, 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 holy. He's doing a work, he's doing a work. Receive, receive. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. He's doing a new thing. He's making all things new. Receive, receive, receive. Receive. Fire, 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 fire. Fall down,
fall down, fire, fall down on a slippery.
Receive, 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 receive. If you receive as a child, you will receive. If you receive as a child, that's how you inherit the kingdom. Receive as a child.
just want to lift your hands to heaven right now. I'm going to just pray a prayer of blessing over you, and I'll give it back to Pastor or Eric or whoever's here. But I'll head back to the table after that with Joshua, and if anybody wants to meet us back there, we're happy to say hello. But guys, we hold the keys, you know. We hold the keys through what we speak and declare. And when we leave this church house, I'm never going to be in your job site. Your pastor's never going to be in your job site. Pastor Eric's never going to be in your job site. Like, never going to be at your family reunions. We're not going to be at your kids' sporting events. You hold the life-giving power of Jesus Christ right here. And if you just simply speak it, it's his job to manifest it. But you have to give the entrance point of the faith so that he can move the mountain. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, we are in partnership with how he's created it to be. And this world can change if just a few people get this. The city can change if a few people get this. Like we do everything we can to try to get more people to church, get more people to church. And it's great when we have full churches, but it's actually us being the church that actually changes the world, you know? Because a bunch of people out there are never going to walk into a church building, but they're going to see you. They're going to see you pass by them. And you literally hold the access to the warehouses of heaven for their situation and what they need. I don't care what they say or how they respond or did they receive it? Like, it ain't your job to wonder if they receive it. Like, plant, water, God will bring the increase. But they might be thinking when they go to bed at night, that was really strange when I went to the grocery store today and that weird old man came over to me and he said that thing to me, and they can't stop thinking about it. Because the Holy Spirit used that word that you spoke to just say, you know, I just see something I just want to share with you. You might not even believe in God, but he told me to say something about you, and I'm sharing it, and bam, all of a sudden, they're getting haunted by it. And then a second person, and a third person, and a fourth person. All of a sudden, everywhere I go, it's like people keep telling me about this Jesus guy. Like, you know, people keep telling me God wants to do something in my situation. It's us just being that. We're in a voice-activated kingdom. We're in a life-giving kingdom. And for those of us that, I'll just say this as a close to before I pray blessing. Some of you may say, look, I've said a lot of bad things in my life. You know, I've declared a lot of death. I might have been the one that sent those demons to pastor, you know, to after Sunday service when I didn't like his message, you know. You know, the most depressing day for a pastor is Sunday night and Monday morning. Like, Monday, most of them take day off on Mondays in most places because they're dealing with all the turmoil of all the bad stuff, you know. Because that's what happens, you know, speaking, you know. Think of your bosses and your jobs. Don't send demons to your bosses. Bless your bosses, you know. Don't send demons to your friends and family. Like, bless your friends and family, you know, and declare life over them. And begin to be a life giver, not a life taker. And to watch the Lord begin to change your situation. But what I just do, if I say something, I say, Lord, that seed that I planted, that seed, the word that I planted of negativity, that was death, I pray right now that you would uproot that seed. I plead the blood of Jesus on that thing and cast it at your feet. That's what I do anytime I say something. If I catch myself saying something wrong or whatever, I say, Lord, I just pray you would uproot that seed right now, that you'd cancel that assignment that I just sent out in Jesus' name, and you would bring freedom on that situation. I plead the blood of Jesus. If you do that even on your own and at home and whatever, catch yourself in a moment. Just realign every moment, every day. Like, just uproot those things so that they don't turn into negative things for other people, you know what I mean? And just release life. I write about a lot of that in my book, Weighty Words, and some of that in there. But I just want to pray a blessing over you guys. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, in Jesus' name, I declare life right now over every single person. I pray right now that they would walk in victory all of their days. I'm reminded of Shammah, one of David's mighty men, who stood in a pea patch and advanced against the enemy army from a pea patch. Why? Because it was the king's territory, and he wasn't going to yield an inch to the enemy, even a pea patch. And he ended up turning a loss into a great victory because he held his ground.
And right now, I pray that you would put that stiffened spine and stiffened warrior spirit of Shammah in the people today, God, where they will not back down an inch from the enemy territory, but instead they will advance and speak back to the lies of the enemy and declare truth in their generation and declare life in their generation. I pray that this would be the most life-giving, life-speaking, life-declarative church and people anywhere in this area in the name of Jesus, anywhere in Ohio, Lord, that they would just be blessing, blessing, blessing people everywhere that they go, and that they would bring life, Lord. I pray that the giants standing before them would fall flat on their faces, and like David, that the head of the enemy would be cut off in these situations, God. I pray, I've sensed a lot tonight, those that are dealing with difficult relationships, that you would reconcile, God, that you would reconcile relationships that have been lost and distraught, and bring healing and forgiveness and love and mercy into these situations. And Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that every issue of poverty and debt right now, I pray that you would cancel these assignments of debt, God. I pray that school loans would be supernaturally vanished in Jesus' name. I pray that debt collectors that are trying to call and do something for a bad mistake of the past, God, Lord, I pray that you would just with ease take care of these situations in Jesus' name. I pray that debts would be supernaturally removed in Jesus' name, that you'd bring creative business ideas, creative entrepreneurial ideas into the hearts of the people here, God, and that this would be the most blessed entrepreneur, life-giving, missions-giving church that ever was in America, God, that they would just start operating in the blessing and abundance of God in their day-to-day jobs so that they can literally go to the nations and bless everybody, God. I pray that they would begin to be the head and not the tail, God, in every single situation of their life. I pray that their families would be reconciled and that marriages would be stronger, God, that you would unite the husbands and the wives with eyes for each other, that you would unite the children to the parents and the parents to the children, God, that you would, that any relationship that's estranged, God, that you would restore it and bring it back in Jesus' name. I just declare life over you, abundance over you, blessing over you. I bless you, I bless you, I bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Brother Caleb. What a great night it's been. Thank you so much for taking time to fly from Florida to be here tonight. Please tell Joshua the same thing. We fell in love with you already, so thank you so much for being here. Church, I want to remind you a couple of things. One, tomorrow night we have our final night in the main house. That's going to be with Rick C. Aramatero. He is a man that reminds me more of Pastor Dosik than anybody I've ever met. He also flows a lot like Tim Bagwell. We all know he loved the prophet of our church. So I encourage you, again, if you need a miracle, believe God for a word over your life, I encourage you, be here tomorrow night. You're going to love Pastor Rick and his wife Kathy as they come. Now, don't forget, tomorrow night, we also got VBS continuing as well as on Wednesday. So please bring your children out for that, too. It's been a blessing back there. Pastor Jared's been sharing testimony after testimony. So please bring your children to VBS as well. We got two more nights of VBS. Thank you so much. We will see you tomorrow at 7 p.m. God bless you.
You're alive. You came to fill.